Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3.
Pastor, do you mind if I take this coat off?
Praise the Lord.
Let me lay it down here. 2 Peter chapter 3. I am so glad that we get to be with you this morning, and I'm glad you showed up. What a blessing. I don't think the pastor would have enjoyed it if I'd just been preaching at him today. So we're glad that you're here. 2 Peter comes right after 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you'll bear with me, we're going to read the entire chapter. We're going to touch on the first part of the chapter. I know you're going, oh no. It's going to be a long time. I'm watching the clock for you. You don't have to watch it. We never put a clock on our back wall because I told our people if I did, then I'd have to put a sign under it that says, remember Lot's wife. So we just put it up on the front pew. And that way I could watch it. But I'll not keep you long. I figure I'll be done about 2:30. So it'll be okay. Begin in verse 1 with me, if you would. Chapter 3, 2 Peter. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And this is our text. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your salvation that you bestowed upon me that day I cried out and confessed I was a sinner and asked you to save my soul. Repented of my sin. I want to thank you for that. Thank you that I can serve you today, and that we, Sandy and I, get to travel the the country and represent you and honor you. What an honor. What a great, great calling you've given us. I pray for this morning, and I pray that as we delve into this message, I need your help. There's so much here, we're not going to have time to be able to deal with everything. So as we quickly go over a few things and then focus in on the text and the passage that we want to look at this morning, I pray that you would speak through me. Just want to be a vessel of honor. Father, it's not about me. It's about what you want to do in our lives. It's about you speaking to our hearts. And as Solomon tried to teach Rehoboam, help us to be receptive to your word. Help us to receive your word and allow you to work in our hearts. And I just want to thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for loving us. And if there's anybody here today who's trusting in religion to get them to heaven, amen, trusting in their own works, trusting some other way than your way, help them to understand there is only one way. Amen. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through an empty cross and an empty tomb. And Father, we just look forward to that time that our Lord takes us out of here, that you take us out of here. We just thank you for that. But I pray today that they would realize they need Jesus in their life. They need to be born again. And then I would ask, Father, also for those of us who are born again, who are saved. Sometimes I think we forget the seriousness of the life you've given us to live. The purpose for why we're here. The purpose for us to serve. And that we are to take seriously our life. So I ask you now, Father, have your will and your way in each heart. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm thankful for my parents. Thankful for my wife's parents who are waiting for us in heaven. My parents are still alive. We feel like it probably won't be much longer before the Lord takes my dad home. His heart is failing. They have him on hospice care. But my dad's saved. I know where he's going to spend eternity. And I know that if he does, even before I get back to see him while he's still alive, then praise the Lord, I'll get to see him when we get to heaven. But I remember things that my parents taught me and told me when I was growing up. How many of you remember some of the sayings your parents told you? Some of you do. How many are just decided to go brain dead and don't want to remember? Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you for being honest. I appreciate that. I remember some of the things that my parents used to say. I won't get into all of them, but a couple of big ones was when I would come in and not shut the door, my parents would say, "Son, what's the matter with you? Were you born in a barn? Shut the door." Any of your parents ever say that? Yeah, thank you. But the one that really grabbed a hold of my heart, I really didn't understand it, Pastor, when I was a teenager so much, but I'm thankful that I listened. And it was this, that my dad would instruct me as I would go out the door, heading off to spend some time with some of my friends. And I didn't get to do that. Most of the time my parents had our friends out because then they could keep a hand on what was going on. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. But there were times I'd head out to a concert that we were doing with our singing, with our show choir in school, or going to football practice or play a game or whatever it was. But I remember Dad would say, "Son, remember who you are. Amen. And don't shame our name." I was thinking about that this last year, thinking a lot about it. And I thought, you know, as a pastor in our church, when I pastored in Amarillo at Bible Baptist Temple, I should have put a sign on the inside of our front doors that said, "Remember whose you are. Don't shame his name." In these last days that we are living in, and that's what Peter's dealing with here, in these last days, there's a huge responsibility upon our shoulders as a child of God to live in a right way. Yes. Yeah. We sort of like to sometimes say, "Well, I can do my own thing and it'll be okay." Can I just tell you, that's the wrong answer. Amen. It's not about what we want, it's about what He wants. And as Peter is writing, if there's anybody anybody that had any right to get after people about the way that they live, it was Peter. Peter suffered for the cause of Christ, but what we remember Peter for is we remember the time that every time he stuck his foot in his mouth, you know, and spoke up when he shouldn't have, and then the time that he stepped out of the boat. I remember when Dr. Art Wilson preached a message one time, said, "Stay in the boat, Peter," you know, and I mean, we think of the things that Peter did, but the big one was when he denied the Lord. Well, we really kick him in the teeth for that one, don't we? Right? Oh, you're not going to be honest at all, are you? It's okay. If you don't want to say amen or hallelujah or praise the Lord, just shake your heads. I'll hear it rattle all the way up here, okay? It'll be all right. But I want you to understand that Peter never denied the Lord again. As a matter of fact, he went out and repented. He wept bitterly. He repented in his life. And we see God using him in mighty and wondrous ways as he served God from then on. I can tell you this, he suffered for the cause of Christ. He went through the persecution. He went through things. So when Peter writes about these last days that are coming, he's writing about the days that we're living in, because we're living in those last days. I preached this morning out of Genesis 6 up in Ferndale about the forgiveness of Noah and the faithfulness of Noah and his fruitfulness, but talking about the ark and how the door shut, and even after they had received the warning. Hey, listen, there have been men of God who stood in pulpits. There have been those who know the Lord who have tried to warn the lost and to warn a world about what's coming, and there are many of them that are not listening.
Yep.
But I can tell you this, it's not going to stop what's coming. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We are blessed, if you can say that, because we're living in the last days.
Yep.
The very next prophetic act is the rapture. God taking us out of here. I'm looking for that, and especially before April 15th of next year. I'm just ready now. You know, if the Lord wants to take a load, let's go. I'm ready to go. But until then, you and I have a huge responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. We shirk that. We get so involved with our own time, we forget about God. Now, I'm just talking to those who are saved. Please understand, he goes through this and he deals with here the need to stir up pure minds by the way of remembrance. There are a lot of times we forget things. And let me tell you, it's not getting older, it's not getting more mature. The key word is getting more seasoned. The more seasoned I get, the more I forget. I'll walk in the other room. Hey, we don't have a very big place to live. We've got a fifth wheel. But just walking in the other room, I'll stand there and go, okay, what did I come after? It happens. But let me tell you, spiritually speaking, we as God's people are forgetting a lot of things. We're forgetting about why Jesus came. It wasn't so we would have Christmas and Easter to celebrate. It was because God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. It's because mankind had sinned against Him, and there had to be an answer for the sin of mankind. And it began in the garden when God shed the first blood for man's sin. And it continues on down that scarlet thread of the blood. And I was reading this morning in Hebrews how much more Christ's blood is more important, because it was a fulfillment of what was back then.
Yeah.
But we forget about all of that, and then we go out and do what we want to and expect God to bless it. Not going to happen. Why? Because there was a responsibility. Listen, just as my dad said, there was a responsibility as a wagoner and as our wagoner family to represent it right. That's what Peter's going to deal with, that there is a responsibility for the child of God to live a right life in these last days. So he warns about the things that are going to happen. In the last days, what's going to happen? There's scoffers. There's mockers. The sad thing is, it's happening in our churches. Say, how so? We don't believe God. We don't take God at His word. What? Okay. I know we're living in the age of the millennials, and I'm not going to get after that, but my parents, they were mean to me. My sisters got me in so much trouble.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, your brothers did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yep. I know. Well, anyway. Do you know that my dad had a razor strap that hung... Who said amen? Had a razor strap that hung beside the door. My dad didn't need to pull off a belt. He grabbed that razor strap. Mom was even more cruel. She would make us go out and cut ourselves a branch, a limb. Oh, the first time I did that, I thought, small branch, small whipping. No, small branch, legs welted.
Yes.
I'm telling you. But I'm thankful that my parents took the hand of education and applied it to the seed of knowledge because they loved me.
Amen.
We forget that we're going to stand. Listen, I'm talking about we as God's children. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to give an account of our life and the deeds that we have done in the flesh, whether they are good or bad. My sisters are going to be really in trouble when they get there. And I'd say that if they were here today. I promise you. So he's saying these last days are coming. So what's our responsibility? I'm going to hurry so I can be done here within the next hour. I'm just kidding. Look at verse number 11. Wish I had time to get into all of this. Dealing with the ark and dealing with God's judgment, and we see it all through, and we see how God is trying to paint a picture for us that is going to be taken care of on Calvary. And he says this, and you have to understand, Peter is writing to believers, and he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and, what's the next word?
Godliness.
Boy, we don't like to talk about that, do we? Matter of fact, we don't like to talk about the scripture where it says, be ye holy as I am holy. We don't like to talk about pure living. We don't like to talk about holy living. We don't like to talk about godliness, because with that comes a responsibility to practice what we preach.
Yeah.
Well, as parents, it's easy to say, do that because I say so. And then we do just the opposite, and our kids are confused. It happens. It happens sometimes with parents who, well, anyway, they tell their kids to live for the Lord, and they'll show up at church, but when they get home, they sure don't live for the Lord then. Well, I knew it would get quiet. It's okay. Amen, preacher. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm just telling you, that's what's happening today in our homes. It's what's happening in our churches. We have forgotten the responsibility that we have as an ambassador of Christ, as a child of God. We have a responsibility to honor Him.
Amen.
It's not about how you and I look. It's how He looks.
There you go. Amen.
What manner of conversation? That's not talking about the words we live, that we speak. It's talking about the life we live. I'm sure you've probably heard it. As a child of God, our life may be the only Bible a lost person will ever read.
Amen.
What are they going to read in the pages of our life? What are they going to see? That we say we love God and then we live opposite?
Yeah.
I mean, we can say, people aren't interested about what you and I say, they're interested in about what you and I do. Jesus said He loved people, and He backed it up and lived that way.
Amen.
That's what God wants us to do. Are we not supposed to be like Jesus?
Amen.
Attention, Walmart shoppers. Are we not supposed to be like Jesus? Absolutely. The disciples, remember, in Antioch, they were called Christians. That wasn't a badge of honor. That's not what it was intended for. It was a badge of mockery by their enemies. They were calling them Christians. Oh, there goes a Christian. It wasn't, oh, look, there's a Christian. It was, there goes a Christian. Those people. And it meant it for ridicule and mockery. But what the world intended for ridicule and mockery, God used as a badge of honor.
Amen.
Because what that word Christian means is little Christ. Or if I can put it this way, imitators of Jesus.
Yeah.
not pretenders, but patterning our life after Him.
Amen.
So, after all these things are covered by Peter, he says, seeing then, because of what we have just talked about, seeing then that these things are going to happen, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Ooh, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's easy to point at somebody else and say, oh, they're not living for the Lord. I was reading this morning also in Matthew chapter 7, and following the Sermon on the Mount, and it was an instruction. Jesus was talking to the church, and the world just got to overhear everything. It's exciting. As he's teaching the disciples, and he starts out chapter 7 with, judge not, lest ye also be judged. He was dealing with the critical spirit. Hey, we as God's people better be careful we don't have a critical spirit. I mean, we can look at somebody else and say, he dealt with this in chapter 7 too. I can look and say, you ought to be living for the Lord. And God says, why are you so worried about the mote in that person's eye and you're not taking care of the beam in your own? It's easy to point at somebody else and tell them how they ought to live for the Lord. But what about us?
Amen.
Are we honoring God? I'm not going to answer for you. I don't have to. Thank the Lord. And you don't have to answer for me. You really ought to thank God for that one. But we got to answer for us before a holy God. Seeing then what persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness. We are looking for a great thing, but we are to live in such a way to honor Him. Verse 14, I got to hurry. I know I don't have to, but I'm working on trying to get done quick. Verse 14, wherefore, I love wherefore, it's because of, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent lest you be found of Him in peace without that you may be found of Him in peace without spot and blameless. I love that word diligent because it means steady, earnest, and energetic. There are no couch potatoes for Jesus. I want us to understand that. God doesn't intend for us to sit down on our blessed amazing grace and just do nothing. What God intends for us is that we as His servants are to be busy serving. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I'll just go there real quick and then we'll hurry and finish up within the next 15 minutes. You say, you're going to take that long? Oh, I got to. The more amens there are, the shorter it gets. I can tell you that. All right. Now there's going to be a whole lot of them. I got to do it in five. Verse 31. And there's this chapter is so exciting as he's writing. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I have a note written behind that verse. We need to please God. I used to teach this wrong because I used to teach that word wait on the Lord is a word like patient. That you wait and you're waiting on God to do something. Like a young man waits on his date to get ready for their date. He's been sitting there for an hour and a half. He's going, is she not ready yet? That's not what it's talking about. When we go into a restaurant, we have people that wait upon us. They're called waiters and waitresses. Their whole focus, if they're good, their whole focus is us. They are there to serve us, to take care of us, and make sure that everything we need is taken care of. And they are rewarded for the job they do. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out. If you're going to leave a track, you better tip really good.
Amen.
I'm serious. I read a survey of waitresses one time and waiters. They said, who are the worst people in the world to wait on? They said, church people. They come in late, just before closing time. They are messy, they're boisterous, they're loud. And and they leave everything in a mess and we have to stay extra long to clean it up. They said, who's the worst among the church people? They said, preachers. Because they will always, they're never happy with their order, and then they won't tip very good. I thought, interesting. I was in Denver with Brother Gross one time for a meeting, and we went out to eat breakfast. And I was sharing with Brother Gross about this survey, and the waitress came up and I said, I read this survey. My daughter, our oldest daughter, calls me a chatty Cathy, says I'll talk to anybody. I said, I read this survey about waitresses and waiters that said that the worst people to wait on are church people. Would you agree with that? She goes, absolutely. And she said, or I said, then they said the worst of church people are preachers. Would you agree with that? And she goes, yes. And then she realized, she goes, are you preachers? I said, yes, ma'am. And they said that they don't tip very well, so you're not getting a tip today either. But I'm telling you, the testimony we leave wherever we go ought to always honor Him.
Amen.
But they that wait upon the Lord. Now get this. The promises that follow that statement belong only to those who are servants.
There you go. How about that?
And their reward is according to their service.
Wow.
Telling you, this is a serious life that we live. We can have fun serving the Lord, but this is serious. Souls are in the balance of the kind of life you and I live.
Yes.
Some will decide not to follow Jesus or believe in Him because we won't live the life we ought to. I had a dear friend, Dr. Reuben Fields, and Brother Fields. I remember he took me to his headstone and showed me where he now, his vessel now lies. He's in heaven with the Lord. But he told me this. He says, I don't mean any sacrilege by this. He said, but Brother Wagoner, he said, the greatest honor that could ever be given to me is if somebody would come up to me and say, excuse me, are you Jesus? Because that means his life is so much like the Lord's. We need to live for the Lord.
Yeah.
The world is watching. Go back to our text. I'm almost done. Not only what manner of conversation, not only... Don't worry, they're going to wreck down the road. It'll be okay. But that we are to be diligent, energetic, and earnest about our life, that we be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then, number 17. Ye, therefore, beloved. By the way, four times that word beloved is used in this chapter. Seeing ye know these things before. Now watch this. Beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Pastor, I know you and I, Brother Jones, we could today, we could say, Brother Gerald, we could say we know men who once stood behind this sacred desk that preached the Word of God, that have fallen from their steadfastness.
There you go.
They didn't beware of the work of the devil. They didn't beware what happens with sin. They were not careful to watch what they said and what they did and the way that they lived and the choices they made. He's saying you need to beware lest ye also, meaning that there have been others who have fallen by the wayside, who are no longer serving God, who are no longer in church, they're no longer doing what God wants them to do, because they have fallen or taken a step away from their steadfastness, and they have brought shame to the name of God. They certainly have not honored Him. But I love the way this chapter ends. He gives warning, but now he gives encouragement and gives challenge, but grow in grace.
Amen.
And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love this. Grow in grace. I love it because grace is free.
Yes.
And we can grow in those things of God. Listen, the more we get into this word, the more we ought to be growing. The more exciting we ought to get. I remember reading about a woman, and I'll close with this illustration. I'm telling you, you can tell how a person's growing by how much time they spend in this book.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing about this, reading about this woman who was blind. She had volumes of the Braille Bible. She could be seen in her picture window of her house, sitting there reading her Bible of a morning. But the day came where she had developed calluses upon her fingers, and she could no longer feel the Braille. That was a sad day in her life. With tears flowing down her cheeks, she bent to kiss her Bible goodbye. And discovered by kissing her Bible, she could read the Word of God.
Wow.
From that day forward, she could be seen affectionately kissing her Bible, reading God's Word. What manner of conversation ought ye to live? What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of Him. And beware lest you be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but rather grow in grace.
Amen.
You can't grow in grace if you don't know Jesus.
Yes.
You can't grow in the Lord if you don't know Jesus. And once you know the Lord, listen. I remember the day our oldest grandson was born. For 2 years, I got to babysit him, hold him, watch him grow. He and I have a special bond. I just sort of get a little seasick when I call him. He's 14 now, and he loves to look at himself in the corner of that FaceTime thing. And so he'll do all these little gyrations, and that makes me seasick. But I remember when he was this. But it sure is a lot of fun with him being 14. He couldn't talk to me much when he was like that. And then our oldest granddaughter was born. We love Emma. Then Kelly was born. We love Kelly. Matter of fact, Colt, our oldest son, he was born. His name is Eric Colt. And he was born in room, get this preacher, room 357. My wife picked him up one time in Lubbock, and all the way back to Amarillo, he talked for 2 hours. And he told them, he says, I know I'm going to be a preacher because I talk a lot. But the youngest grandson is 6 months old. We've got to rush there next month so I can spoil him some more. He's in Rapid City, South Dakota. He's now starting to coo and starting to laugh. And oh man, what a responsibility and what an honor. One of these days he's going to be 14 if the Lord tarries.
Yeah.
He'll be making choices in his life. I mean, you think about it, he'll be 14 and Colt will be 28. That's scary, isn't it, hon? It's scary Colt being 14, but anyway. My point is this. God doesn't want us to stay the same from our birth. He wants us to grow.
Amen.
And to mature and to honor Him in our life.
Yeah.
But you gotta know Jesus for that to happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.